of how you're going to monitor this, how you're going to regulate it. And I can see a similar thing that is happening in CASA, happening in an organization where you're actually not going to know who owes you money and who doesn't. So what sort of processes do you envisage to have in place to address that type of thing?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you for this presentation. Honourable Stain has covered me a lot on my questions that I wanted to ask. I've never seen any awareness on how are you going to educate South Africa on this APM Act. And then also, like Honourable Stain has stated, the cybercrime, the role within ZABMA, your role in cybercrime is protecting children from hackers and people that for children's pornography is special, like that's my special interest. And then also the document, the operational report. Are you still going to present this document to us? Is that or only for notification?
Thank you, Jim. I just wanted to elaborate a little further on your cyber security matter. From what I understand on the third goal, namely to improve infrastructure capabilities, we are going to establish some of the traditionally centralized information to actually track down some of these risks that we have found to be, involved in phishing activities. What is very fascinating is that you actually have certain waves of attacks on some addresses. And how does the ordinary citizen, what can they do to actually report it? Where do they report that? So that they could facilitate research your role into securing our internet. If you could just elaborate a little further on that. And then Honourable Stain referred to your role as far as cyber security is and your advice to the DOC. Could you also elaborate on that? Because some of the international conferences actually elaborate very much on cyber security and on measures government should implement to improve on that. It is one of those very serious problems. I mean, we've had hacking in South Africa. We've had hackers in the Coast Guard. So what measures, additional measures, do you think we need to take as a country to try and roll back those sorts of things? I don't know whether But if they have a policy to get that, I might be addressing the wrong, but we will understand that too. Maybe I need something on you today. If they put it in, explain to me how many policies are they accounting to have. Is there any relationship with them, with their clients and technology? And when they talk about cyber security, are they working with the department of communication? How far are they in the process? I'll tend to take it one week, but I'm talking about the personal experience that happened to me, where I had to pay something like 6,000 somebody was getting into my internet, and I didn't know. And when I checked the account, it was showing me the minute that he was using it. It was surely it was something like downloading a film or something. And I couldn't just trace it inside the trace that what it was, and I had to trace my and I thought by now maybe we'll be having evidence, you know, proof that we are dealing with such things as my colleague has indicated about where it's happening in banks and everywhere. The other thing that has been, I'm very worried about what the Honorable saying is the issue of the Western countries dominating our country like this. And yet we have seen so much. I really want to say that I think we need to address this. And we need the regular report from the regulator. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Abba Delapna. Any other hand or member? Dr. Kato. I'll probably make some overarching comments that may firstly, I think in some ways the committee may be disappointed by what we can do and what we cannot do. And our role is really around at internet access. Our role is to ensure that when you're typing an address, that you get to the site. When you get to the site, you have no control beyond it, and we have no input over it. So our mandate as per the structure of the internet, as because there's this one internet, and this one internet is from an address point of view, or how you get from one site to another, or how you send email from one address to another, is essentially structured and managed through this organization called ICANN. That organization gives us the delegation to manage this little database I spoke about, which is the database that determines the addressing system. So the influence we have is around addressing. And that's the only role or narrow role we can play. That's notwithstanding that with our interactions at the international level and other levels within the continent, that we are not restricted in terms of our understanding and value that we can provide including the department and policy makers. So when it comes to elements like phishing or hacking, we, from a security point of view, we secure the integrity of the addressing system. That's what we do.
we are unable to secure the content that's available to the site you reach, or the manner in which others may reach the site, or the manner in which others may set up sites that resemble the site you're thinking of getting. So all we can do is say, this street address belongs to the owner that has registered this address for us. And if you want to deliver information from this street address to a street address in another part of the world or another part of the country, we know how to get that information to that address. So addressing is what we do. So I just wanted to give you an overarching feel for the area that we can get involved and the area that we can influence. Coming to some specific questions, the issue of Mali providing free domain. We have considered those, but there's an enormous amount of investment that needs to take place in managing our role and appointing operation, which is a central registry. So our role is from a policy point of view. Then we have an entity called a central registry that does all the technical stuff and that have all the equipment to manage this addressing service that we have oversight of. So from a pricing point of view, with the appointment of the central registry, we have implemented leading global practices in terms of how individuals and organizations register their sites. And that's through an electronic processing system. And the electronic processing system has in fact allowed us to decrease prices. Where the price to date has been 50 rand for a commercial, so that means if you register on COZA, the standard price has been 50. That price is now 35. What we have also placed the onus on the central registry to encourage and migrate existing users to adopt the new mechanism of registration, hence the higher fee. So the higher fee is an incentive to migrate continuous registrations onto the new system, which is now 35 rand instead of 50 rand. Now, the other key principle of this environment is what we call first come, first serve. So if I go onto a registration site and I register tomatoes.co.za, I own that site. And it's not as if a human being receives this application and considers application before it is registered. So the technical aspect of registration is fairly automated. We can refer to the ultimate dispute resolution mechanism. This is the mechanism that allows grievances to be brought to the court, and at the moment it has jurisdiction of the COZA domain. So from a pricing point of view, we have essentially lowered the prices and not raised the prices as the perception may be there. If you register a site, tomato.co.za, I have to re-register that every year. So it's not a once-off registration, it's a once-a-year re-registration. So the 75 rand is to encourage people to use the new system on an ongoing basis rather than the old system. That's why the 75 rand. On re-registration, if the site is not re-registered, there are policies and guidance on how long that site is held in abeyance before it is released to be admitted as this by way of our outcome. So I'm hoping that this will assist in the understanding of the pricing. Secondly, the pricing that we suggest is the pricing that the registrant, that is the user, needs to be charged for by the ISPs. So the internet service provider, that's the central registry pricing to the industry. So we set pricing at the, what we call almost a wholesale level, at the central registry level. Now pricing is often just simply the domain registration, or the pricing includes a set of services that the ISP may provide. Those services may be to provide you with a mail system, or those services may be to provide you with what they call a hosted service, where you can host your website. So the 35 Rand is not due to Vedna at the end of the day per registration. It's the amount that the central registry keeps behind, and then we get, Vedna gets 7 Rand out of that 35 Rand. So to come to those figures that we talked about, 6.3 million versus 63 million, we don't get the 35, we just get the 7 Rand of the 35. The central registry has been established on what we call a cost recovery basis. So the central registry has to invest in infrastructure and personnel to manage this central registry. So the balance is provided for that central registry. We do not manage the central registry as a regulator. Under the Act, we were asked to license the central registry, that means we have to appoint. So if we run the central registry, then it would become what we call referee and player. So we have to remove ourselves from the technical operating aspect. What we do, the manner in which we, if the word control has to be used, is by the setting of policy and charters that we refer to. So the charters detail the constitution and the guidelines under which the registry has to operate and the standards that the registry has to comply. So the responses to the chair was the Mali question about free, and I think that we've alluded to that. The next question was the WCIT meeting. We have an ongoing input to the department through our relationship. As an authority, we focus on the addressing issue, and we bring to bear the added knowledge and information and expertise we have to assist the department in policy formulation. But in terms of the internet governance element of this, we are a support organization to the department rather than the drivers of it. I think I've covered the financial aspect already. So Mr. State, what policy input have you provided to the DOC? I think I've alluded to that. Mainly, we have recommended to the department the policy of having a central registry instead of having multiple registries. And this policy was accepted by the late Minister Katabuli and announced in Parliament.
and that gave us a mandate to establish the central registry, which is what we've done. To your other specific questions on the DNSSEC, I'll refer to Rita to answer that. I think your question was how far are we in terms of the technical implementation. So I'm coming to that.
Thank you, Chair. On the DNSSEC, some additional responses to what the Chair has given in terms of the specific questions that you have. But starting with the DNSSEC question, the question was how far are we, what progress has been made so far, and what action steps are we going to take over how long? We are in the early phases of DNSSEC in the NZA. It is an important technology that requires also a lot of education and awareness, and welcome to the education and awareness aspect. As I mentioned specifically under my presentation when we came to the key objective of developing the space and the education and awareness, and below reaching DNSSEC is one of those. Because it's at the early phases. We are taking an incremental approach to implementing DNSSEC, starting with the small second level domains that are under the operation of the central registry. We've earmarked net.zeri, net.zeri and web.zeri to be the one to start with. The reason being that they are smaller domains. DNSSEC is a technology. And as you implement it, no matter how good you are, there may be many gaps here and there in most of the space. It could have caused maybe a different outage for an hour or so. Now, our attitude is that it's better if you mess up net.zeri was a few hundred names, as opposed to starting with 0.zeri that has close to 900,000 names and wipe out 97% of the space. So this year, you can expect us to work on net and web, and before the end, this financial year ends, will be now on 4.zeri, which is the second largest second level after 0.zeri. I think it's fair to say, by the end of the financial year, of this financial year, we'll be looking at 0.zeri only from a preparatory point of view. The most important part for us for this year is the education and awareness part. Because for the NSSEC to work, it will require also that the internet service providers, let's say your names, are ready to deploy the NSSEC, are ready to provide you addresses that can be given this trust certificate if you want to put it that way. So the awareness part through workshops, the awareness part through meeting particular businesses. Banks especially are the ones that we quickly know when you say DNSSEC, because they are the main target of all these hacking sites, phishing sites. So if you want to provide them a technology that can say to the public, we're really dealing with bank aid here, you know, they will really fall for it, they really want it. In the past, there's been really notions of, what if you create an explicit second level domain for banks? And the question arose simply because they wanted a space that can, they know they can deploy technology to protect all its clients and customers. You know? So that education awareness will be on the ISPs, will be on the business, especially once you say get ready, get ready, get ready. I think if you give us maybe a 2-year period to pay for a full on deployment throughout the entire space, it wouldn't be an incredible challenge. Which one the question of the coming also back to also another question on those ML and the three domains. I think the Chair has covered that one important. Well, the important part is to find out that we already have some of the three second level domains. For example, there is a small, not well known second level domain called NOM. You know, where if you improve your individual something to IT, you get a name for free. But then you must host it, which is what the Chair was alluding to. You must host the name somewhere. There has to be a computer or machine that says, I know this name.nom.zeri. You know, I can have an email address if I want to, I can run a website if I want to. That's the part that we do not control. The internet service provider will typically charge for that service. There are a number of other internet service providers that sort of do pro bono work, provided you do not have such a big website. You know, so you can get it. So we have some second level domains. Whether we want to prolong is another question, but there are still issues here. The .ml issue is not the first one on three domains. We started in 2011 late with the Tokelau Island, which is an island of a few thousand of people. They opened up their space this way and said we'll make it free to everybody in the world. And it grew from being a few thousand names to today being the biggest among the countries, the biggest project in your names. But from a strategy point, that raises a number of questions. Because once you typically, who want to make a space for free, you typically attract the wrong elements. It really can be really, let's call this a grant or product. It really depends on the grant. Because now any squad, I mean it's free, so we'll come into your space, register and then have a field day with sending us spam and all that unsolicited communication using video. We don't think it will be wise for the trust and integrity of the area. We don't think it will be wise for us to go that way, especially just school. Rather, we can do it in a systematic way, measure the impact of it. Trust and security are the foundations. So the ML is going there to look after seeing the Tokelau Islands and the entity that they're using to run their registries is the same as from Holland. And they are holding that model. Whether it will work or not these days is definitely another question altogether. On Josie's wicked process, the one that was in Dubai, we played a limited role in that. We were invited by the department to participate in what was called the National Preparatory Working Group. We were part of that. We were part of a subgroup on internet and internet security issues. So we gave whatever recommendations we got as best as possible there. But in terms of the broader agenda that was taken to the Dubai conference, you know, we didn't really have a say beyond what we can do. So our powers are confined by the in terms of the financial issues, Dr. Kaja has covered it quite well with the community. Just to point out, and also is here, so our two directors were not with us at Jonathan, but Mike Silva there, and I'm not sure which one. And Mike Silva is our treasurer, so he probably has a couple of things to say on the financial. Kaja, right, Dr. Kaja. We have done away with the chat for in favor of
let me look back in the office.
So on this fee, the important thing in addition to what Dr. Kaja said is that the 75 grand fee is for this whole system. Before we go to the central registry, we need a new, what we call EPP system. Technology is developed, investment made into it so that you can match up the best in the world. There was investment made in that. But before that, there was an old image-based system, which is really expensive to maintain. So the whole point is that with the central registry automated platform that allows us to enjoy the economy of scale benefits. The one it tries for everybody who gets into the system from 50 lines down to 35. That's now 35 that exclusive. But if you continue with our system, that is very expensive for us to maintain. That it means our cost will keep on escalating. So the 75 grand has now been done as a measure, as a prohibitory measure, an encouraging measure that says you can, there's a system that you can use that is much more beneficial. Get off this system because you also don't want to run it. It will be very costly. And what we see is quite good migration, you know, that is happening. The names are moving. I think initially it was just a few tens of thousands. If you look at the EPP system now, you're probably well around 10 to 200,000 names being migrated because everybody sees this benefit of the cheaper. If you take an ISP like Tesla, Cape Town is the biggest number of CO2 that is in just around 2,000 minutes alone. You know, for it, the benefit of saving 15 grants, that is another 15, 35, is huge. If they move all their 2,000 it's a few millions in terms of saving. So the 75 is not for everybody, but it seems to say, hey, you can even get much better if I remove this side so that you can also save costs and not run this whole system. Mike Silva wants to add anything on the financial.
Thank you for you. My name is Mike Silva. My apologies. My colleague and I both ended up with different aircraft but experiencing delays. Apologies to the honourable members for being late. I think the GM has said it, and the chair as well, in terms of the carrot and the stick. We're incentivising by dropping prices, but we're also creating a disincentive to continue the legacy system by raising prices only on that side. What I should mention is, as a proactive regulator, it's our intention, now that we have the technical system in place, to actually monitor and manage to ensure that we remain in a competitive market. Because again, the GM has touched on this. We're no longer just competing in a isolated local market of .za, but we're actually competing in a global market where you have the right to register a .ml if you really want to go into a virus-infested hornet's nest that .tk became, and it took us within the community almost 10 years to clean out .tk as a free domain and actually put some security controls in there. But if that's what you want, you have that choice. You can go and register under .com, you can go and register under .africa in due course. You have those opportunities, those are open to you. We've got to make sure that we remain competitive in the market. We're using market mechanisms as a regulator to ensure ongoing relevance of the .za domain name space. Recognizing firstly, or secondly, there was a question asked in terms of how do we ensure that license fees are paid? Because the central registry system is built using industry standards, and one of the issues around industry standards is having a renewal, which means that if you don't pay your domain fee, then your registrar could pay it for you if they really wanted to be kind, but we still get the money. Or we don't get the money, we put it on a suspend, we give you basically a grace period where the name stops working, but we don't deregister it. And if after the grace period you still haven't come back and bothered, you know, the fact that your email is not working, your website is not working, your TV sites, any other presence you have on the internet under that name is no longer working, hasn't reached your consciousness and you haven't decided to pay, well, then the grace period has been no use and we deregister, and if somebody wants to come along and grab it, they're welcome to do so. And that's how we enforce it, because if you don't renew and you don't pay, then it gets deregistered and somebody else can pick it up, or it just goes back in the book. There was a question that was raised in terms of Western dominance, and I should indicate that the sites were sitting on the board of the .za Domain Name Authority from its inception and having been asked, or actually having been mandated into the CT Act to be a founder member of the company. I also serve on the board of the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, this alleged Western power that is controlling the internet. And what I can say is that there are certain issues around where the centers of internet governance are at the moment. But what we've been reaching out as, and I say this now very specifically in my capacity as a director of ICAP, where we've been reaching out is to try and engender participation from other countries. And we've had some success with South Africa. We're very happy about the fact that we're hosting an ICANN meeting in Durban in July this year. And as a South African, I'll be very proud to have colleagues, friends from around the world attending, and obviously an invitation will be sent to the portfolio committee as well. But I think this notion of a Western hegemony is something that is not entirely accurate. The financial arrangement around .com centers around a historical relationship going back over 20 years. And I just don't want to go down that route when the full facts aren't known. It accounts in terms of its corporate structure within the state of California. It accounts globally in terms of an affirmation of commitment which has been signed with the US Department of Communications, but also in terms of multiple memoranda of understanding that have been signed with other organizations around the world. And it's also trying to work.
Mike, can we, I would prefer not to, because I think we need to be presented as not part of it, rather than an item come from the past. So, we can just restrict ourselves to say
that would be fine. I think that would be fine. It's what you have to do. So we start to work, and we are in that space, and then we can.
My intention was to continue to answer the questions that you had in that part of the calculation, but in that household. But having said that, Zedna finds itself operating under the reality that I can delegate the management of the zone file to the appointed delegator, which is Zedna. And so we have to work within that framework. So as Zedna, we operate under that mandate in terms of the Act. The Act specifically, clearly exerts the responsibility of maintaining stability of the domain name and managing the addressing system. The issue of internet governance and the role of ICANN is not specifically that occupies our minds as a board in terms of operations, but we provide the input and advice as sought by the department as
Africa had a leadership. So in terms of the Internet Governance Forum, we participate and we provide input as knowledge workers within the space. So I think it's very difficult through your chair as an entity that has to work with ICANN and have an opinion on this at the same time. So we have an opinion, and some of us have different opinions. But these Redna's opinion is very clear. We support the country's viewpoint on this, and there is no confusion around it. And our viewpoint is clear that as matters stand, they cannot remain as they stand. In terms of internet governance, something has to do, something has to change. How that is effective is something that we all have to work together as stakeholders. So I'm hoping that that clarifies the issue of our role within the internet governance space. I'm just, it's unfortunate that confusion may arise from one of our directors who sits on the ICANN board and may have provided possibly an ICANN viewpoint, which is not necessarily at all subject matter. I'd like Vika to just elaborate on this as well, Chair, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Chair. Our chairperson, I think, has actually covered it. And honestly, I don't think there's any real intention on our side, but just to try and focus on that and focus on what I think does. We stand really at a position where the Act limits our power. What the process is, or if the process solicits our opinion, then we'd like to share our opinion. So that's mainly on the item. Maybe I think they need to, in the past, I don't remember the last time I do or the mention of the actual study group on the internet. From the government point of view, power is a little bit better explanation of what those powers are, what they do. But until we get some positions, we can position and decisions and make sure that we have no to say what the process is and then look, they are mandatory in the department. We do not stand by it. Chair, there were then other questions that have were left, sort of that have still not been answered here. Oh, okay, I don't
know. To be fair to Honorable,
we have my apologies. I can come in and finish the question and go to the member. She needs that then open.
Thank you. I just wanted to respond to some of the questions that were asked by the members, especially the ones that are not within the mandate of the domain, of the internet. For example, the issue of cyber security. We recall it, members, last year we announced to the minister that we have adopted the cyber security policy framework. And as the department, we've been given a responsibility to establish the cyber security hub, of which it will be finished by November this year. We have identified the building in the CSIRT that I sent in technology, and we are working together with the departments that are part of the JCPS Cyberjustice. The security crime prevention and our staff. Then what is going to happen? We are going to have our staff, the one that is going to man the hub, the security care, so that whatever information that goes there is properly managed. And we are also going to embark on roadshows as a way of ensuring that the public gets to be informed of where to go when ABCD happens in terms of cybercrime. There are three chairpersons. As a fact that we called for nomination for the National Cyber Security Advisory Council, the nomination will be closing on the 25th of April. So I hope members or whoever, people of the country, have responded to that call, because after that we will be shortlisting and then appointing the advisory council. Lastly,
stress on this issue that we dwell much on, if I can. Can you allow me to invite one of our officials, who is the part of the technical staff, Vanessa, if you allow, to come and give you the DOC perspective in terms of the engagement that they have had. That if you allow, Chair, I will call her to take the platform. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. The internet is a global resource that so many countries have begun to depend on. We depend on the internet to do business, we depend on the internet to socialize, we depend on the internet. We depend on the internet to do so much. And when you look at the evolution of technology, everything is IP-based. So our take in the, as South Africa is that you cannot have one country or one entity being responsible for such a resource. You need accountability and transparency in how these things are done. I sit as a GAG, which is a governmental advisory body to ICANN. Governments advise ICANN. I've never seen anywhere in the world where you find government advising an entity on public policy issues. That's the status quo as we speak. My belief is that there needs to be an international body that will actually take responsibility for managing and administering the internet. During the second phase of the WISIS, the agenda for the information society stated clearly that, you know, everybody has a role to play in terms of internet and internet development, that government should be responsible for public policy, business should continue to innovate, and civil society should advocate. What has happened is that the two other aspects have been implemented, but the one that people are refusing to implement is the one that government has to take over public policy. We are at the moment, you know, at a crossroads in ICANN, because what you find, the new GTLDs that they've been alluded to by the board, there's a problem there, because you find that people have actually applied for names that are country specific, that belong to countries, and they want to have these names as closed names. For instance, in South Africa, we have an issue where an entity in Europe has applied for .Zulu, and saying that they are doing this on behalf of the Zulu nation, and that they have the king's approval to do that, which is not true. And we have an issue where ICANN is looking at the application, and we have objected to this as South Africa, and we don't know what will transpire going forward. So these issues, you cannot say ICANN, we objected and we made safeguards as the GAG during the last meeting of ICANN. But what they said is that they are going to take the communique that government has advised ICANN on for public consultation. That's belittling government. So no one can come here and say that government is not a global force and that everybody is equal within ICANN. ICANN is a small club of a few people who actually who makes decisions on the internet that actually affects all of us. Thank you, Chair.
The reason why originally I was dealing with that in this matter in the internet, firstly was a response that if the perception is not true. Then my response was said, you understand the global politics what is, you understand the dominance of the world, which is true. But I didn't want us to dwell much, and my take is that the South African government for their policy or political position in this matter. It's not a matter to be determined by some entity there. It's an international policy matter, which is still with DECO and other, with DOC and so on, in terms of how to communicate and share that move against this international position and other things and so on. So I think I didn't want us as a member to start to question the response because I don't think that you could have obtained a political question. These are the professional working and other things. But for the politics, international politics, which I don't think is for the level of the government. Because
But thanks very much, PM, and the party to bring what is the view of the government around this particular matter and how the matter will end in the moving question. So I think that will help us to move forward on this because the international community more than anything.
I was just going to say that on the issue of the pride, when we talked of the .com, ideally we wanted to say that part of the awareness campaign was to try and excite the South Africans to migrate from the .com into the .za, so that we can realize the revenue in the country, so that we can be able to see with pride our domain name. That is ideally what I wanted to raise to further check on the issue of the domain name.
Thank you. Thank you. And by the way, what is the staff complement? Who are you? You know, the other entities, the GM and the GM and the AK and the secretary to the PA and secretary assistant to the secretary of the PA. You know, this thing is confusing. Who are you GMing exactly? What is that compliment, you know?
Chair, other than GM and myself, first, we are very small entity, to be honest. Very, very small. Because our weight is the regulatory of a specific component of the ICT. And the act in itself just dictates effectively whether the region, the region, or how we feel. We are three staff members right now. We are in the process of having two or three people in the current contract, mainly because we needed to get to where we are, central leadership project, clarify what we need to do, and then now get head to help us. So that's who I'm GM and who I will be GM going forward. There are other couple of questions that are very specific. The item part of this has been interesting to listen to. Maybe I'm going to focus on the operation. There's a point that the honorable member they made about the operational report. I said earlier on that will be guided by this house if we should go to the report. We just thought it was detailed for nothing. But if there are specific questions that come out of that, then we'll take them. Cybersecurity, the Deputy Minister has covered it correctly, that it's a much bigger subject than belongs to the department, and they know where we fit in this, in the whole cybersecurity agenda. There was, Mr. Masilela covered well the issue of the .com ticket. They said to point out that, in terms of revenue flow, the question was, that was asked by one of the members, is what will involve us in keeping dominion revenue separate within the country. You know, it will involve nothing more than what we do in terms of education and awareness. But then there was a question that was asked in terms of we haven't seen any awareness. And that's fair and honest to be fair to the member who asked the question. We are starting this year effective on serious education and awareness campaign. In terms that requires resources, obviously. We didn't have those resources. We were getting a very limited amount of funding. Was the report in terms of the act only give us some amount to get us around, not really to continue to build their budget. And we only could get to that level when we formally launched the central registry project. Now that we've unlocked those funds, as the chair said, you pay 35.7 comes to us. You can't pay by 900,000 and tells you that it's around 6.5 million rand that you can expect to report. You know,
if you get the DOC funding, it's another permanent issue to continue the revolution more than seven. So that allows us, because our work is policy, you know, that allows us now to focus a substantial amount on education and awareness. And that's where we start to preach the gospel through collaboration with our SPs, through collaboration with the media, the community, and the department, where we say to people, this is the impact of your website name. Don't take it for granted. If you register, it may be nice, but the money goes out of the country. But if you register here, then the money remains here, and you subsidize it. And the particular mention is yet to be made of the central registry entity. The chair said it's a non-profit entity. That runs on a cost recovery basis. What the entity even did before it became a central registry was already to spend a substantial chunk of the money on educational projects. You know, things like the Quota Cares, that they spend on education, building schools, computer laboratories. So that's the kind of philanthropy, and that's the kind of investment that SZN would like to see in terms of the revenue that we generate. We are not a big entity. We can't see our budget shooting to 50 million, for example. And we probably can say, expect, as a matter of principle, the attitude of SZN, especially the board, has been that the more the names in place, the cheaper it grows. So that we always offset, must be easy for another establishment to register a name, must be afforded. But at the same time, we still should run a space that has integrity, and we should invest the money to develop locally. So that's, those are the key questions that I thought I should respond to. And in terms of tracking down phishing addresses and all the stuff, I think it all falls within the national cybersecurity agenda that the minister covered. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Senior Press, followed by Honourable Dawson and Chief.
Thank you, Chief. Yes. I'm going to go back to where the money goes. Because if we send the central registry, it's going to get 6.3 million this year. And that comes from 840,000 domain names at 7.50 each. It doesn't make sense. We're at 35 rand per domain name. We'll be getting 29 million rand. Now, if you say you're only going to be taking 6.3 out of that, where does the other 23 million rand go? And who accounts for the new, you know, how is it spent? So do your members have privy of how that money is spent? Because I frankly do not understand the accounts that you put in front of us.
I think the important
thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Chair has covered me on the infrastructure and the maintenance is that has been covered. And then I just need to be clear what Honourable Malutwa asked. Yes, you said that you're responsible for the email addresses, but Honourable Malutwa says that the email, her email address was hacked. So who protects the email addresses to prevent that from being hacked? So when that email address is hacked, we have to close that email address, open another email address, especially in NGO sector, if that is causing problems. How can you protect email address from being hacked? And then many of our deputy ministers here in Parliament, the email address was used for fraudulent purposes. How do you prevent that? And to make sure that, how do we make sure our email address are secure to make sure that it's not hacked by other people? And people are collecting money on behalf of our money. They are happy on our email address. And then the spam. When we get into the spam email, there's no way that can tell us who we can contact to prevent those spams from getting to our email. That kind of information is really
essential. I'm a little sort of at a loss
understand exactly what the mandate is. And I think it would help all of us if we just have a copy of it. It's not electronic communication. So therefore, if we could just understand that, because in the end, the regulator is very important, and the regulator from our side needs to be monitored, and I just want to make sure that, that we actually understand exactly what the system is.
Thank you for that.
Yes, my follow-up is in regards to the awareness campaign. Obviously, when you decide to do an awareness in a global program project, who are you targeting in your awareness? And what will be the role of the GMC in that regard?
Thank you. That was the last follow-up.
Maybe I could start with the first question around the financials. We do not set any sort of retail price levels. Retail price levels are set by the retailers. We have a wholesale price to the registrars, we attend to registrations. And from that, there is a fee which is paid, and the ECT Act describes it as a license fee because it talks about a licensing regime, even though that may not have been the most accurate. It was the compromise wording that we came up with this committee back in 2002. So of that, R7 is a license fee which goes to the authority. Then the amount of R28 sits with the central registry, which will be used for the central registry operations. So it pays for the help desk. It pays for the infrastructure, it pays for the bandwidth, it pays for the computer equipment, it pays for the accounting systems, for the collection of monies, for attending to legal and other issues. It pays for the full staff complement. If we find out that, and that is, as the chairperson, our chairperson indicated, is a not-for-profit company, which means that it will be transparent in terms of the Companies Act. And if it becomes apparent to us that there is too much of a surplus building up within the central registry, then we have the power, in terms of our contractual agreements as well as in terms of the ECTA, to re-look at the pricing model because the pricing is too high. And we can start adjusting that to make the market, or to adjust the market to make it more competitive so we can get more names out there. That being said, the pricing that we're looking at of a R35 wholesale price is very competitive on a global level. You know, .com wholesale price is $7.85 as compared to ours, which is approximately $3 depending on exchange rate. So that is a process which we will need to take, and it will take some time for us to assess and evaluate going forward. Chair, I don't know if you want me to deal with the email issues or if you'd rather deal with it.
I think that hopefully clarifies some financial issues in terms of the disbursement.
And then, in short, you push the feedback that can be used.
We the structure that has evolved is the structure of the regulator setting the price. That price is set for the technical operator for the central registry. Central registry charges that to the ISPs. And generally, the average citizen applies for their name through an ISP. So we set the price that the central registry has to charge the ISP. And so that R35 is the amount that the ISP has to pay the central registry. And that R35 that the ISP pays the central registry, of that, as per our current calculation and operating needs and budget, R7 comes to the authority, and the balance goes to the central registry for meeting the operating costs and currently they operate under mandate of what we call a cost recovery basis. So they've been established as a non-profit operator.
Thank you.
In terms of the other questions of the tracking of the emails and the spam, I think that falls again within the domain of the cyber security issues we covered. As an authority, we encourage, and again within our charters and within the policy requirements, the ISPs themselves are licensed. And they are licensed through the central registry. And the central registry has certain technical requirements that they have to implement to operate as registrars. So as they operate as registrars, certain ISPs do a better job than other ISPs in terms of issues like spam. The problem with spam is that the spam can not only come from locally, but through this one internet. And spam itself has been covered by a previous act, which specifically covers .za for South African citizens. And again, from the authority point of view, it really falls out of our scope in terms of managing issues like hacking and spam. But as an authority, we contribute to the issues around cybersecurity principles. In terms of the act, if anyone wants to do that now.
It's the ECJ Act 25-2002. That is the Electronic Communications and Transactions Act, number 25-2002, and the Chapter X, Chapter 10, which outlines what you do. Maybe just, if it's a fair point, we, in the past, never had an opportunity or a chance to address it. And I did, I think, we'll look at it. It's pretty much very much an assumption that you have to keep the in there. Just on spam, the chair has covered it correctly. It's unfortunately outside our jurisdiction. The subject covers issues of unsolicited communications. Whether or not there are gaps, that's really a matter for, I would say, we'll take our cue from the department. There's an issue that sort of a big lingering that came on the issues of awareness. The question was, who are we targeting and what is the role in this world? We are working on a plan right now that we are hoping to finalize within the next month that answers all these questions. We know our target in terms of the audience, obviously. You are categorizing into a business. You are categorizing into a business. You have now ordinary users. You have the IT community, especially the ISPs, because when we deal with what we do, we have to work on all these levels. So we'll determine the in civil society, yes, in terms of in civil society. So the strategy will be targeted on this in terms of the how to, that's what we are looking at. But the media will be very important. Collaboration as well. It's not everything that we can do that we must pay for. You know, so we'll try and explore other synergies. The DOC has its own awareness campaigns that it runs from time to time, and we'll have to piggyback on that, on those ones. For us, it was more the issue of, at the time, not having sufficient resources to really get out and in for education and awareness campaign. And then on the issue of the fees, I'm not, I think I saw the member that she's not quite satisfied or totally answered. But just probably just to reiterate that we can only take a fee of the dominion fee that is paid. The kind of a contractual arrangement or regulatory arrangement with the central register will require them to be transparent to us in terms of their operations, how much it requires for them to deliver a service. It is where the actual service of the bulk of the namespace is sitting. There are a number of heads there. Sometimes we have contract service providers from certain purely technical aspects. So what we do is that we require them that each year they present their financials to us, they motivate. That's why I said as a matter of principle, the attitude of the Zetna board is that we should always try to keep the names as affordable as possible, including using a simple principle that says the more the names, the cheaper the price.
So each year we will be looking at what they do, how much it costs them to do. Currently, we felt that this 35 grand was a good figure, mainly also because of the transition. The central road district brings a lot of transition within the space, even within in terms of the facilities they must have, the operations they must have. Some of them they didn't really have in the past. And they say to them, now take off for the, you didn't run on for the before. And there are transitional issues that come into play from them, not just purely IT, the training of staff, handling a different payment model altogether. For example, off-the-day is paid once off. You register a name once, you will never pay again. If you can prove that in fact you're a non-profit, you have a SaaS assumption, you really don't even pay at all. But in terms of what we require the central registrar to, we still require them to have certain steps that verify in terms of off-the-day, including checking if these names are valid, how these names are used, you know, something that was not done in the past. So but the bulk of what we currently have is very transitional. How it would look like 2 or 3 years later from now would be totally different. And in all likelihood, we do expect it to come down. That would be my response to that question.
Okay, thank you. Any follow-up? Saying your hand was up at 1 point.
Thank you, sir. I think my problem is that I don't understand who the central registry accounts to. Because obviously, I understand that the 6.3 million is what the registry pays to you. But what I don't understand is who manages the central registry. Are they accountable to anybody? I assume they must be somewhere along the line that they get audited. But I still would like to know where the 23 million rand is spent. And I would actually, the problem is that we have, sums of money here that we actually don't know how they manage. We don't know what their costs are, and it's not in here at all. So I would really like to ask. And who are these people? Who are the registry? Who do they account to?
I raised my hand earlier when this issue was discussed, or some sort of answer was, there was an attempt at some sort of answer. I think part of the confusion is that the income and expenditure statement that we were given refers to the central registry of 36.3 million. In terms of the answer, they get the bulk of the 35 million, which is the difference between 29 million and 6 million. So that is confusing to start off with. And then obviously the question is that the Honourable Shen asked about, the central registry is being talked about as if it's some entity that's out there in the stratosphere that they know about but doesn't account to anybody. If it is within data, then we expect an income statement that shows the full amount and then the difference going to the central registry. And I think that is where the confusion comes in, because it clearly states central registry receipt, 6.3 million. So that's primarily, I think, where the confusion comes to. And then obviously, we do get the normal associated financial notes, explanatory notes. Although the note numbers are on the statement, the notes, the actual explanatory notes are not attached, which would have shed more light on what is going on here. Thank you.
If I can just start off, the notation is that it's received from the central registry. And that's the reason for the notation central registry, not that's what the central registry receives, but rather that's what's paid by the central registry through to that.
Yes. If I may come to the
I understand the answer that if you want to develop policy, they must do whatever they are doing. But finally, in terms of the utilization of the funds and forward, their account to you, where exactly, I think that's one issue that will become clear. So, but you can respond to the other.
I alluded to the early options that we have as an authority, and that is the existing status quo, as when we were established, where there were multiple second-level registry operators. So COZA was managed by a company another company and so on and so on. And at that stage, after public consultation and understanding the global best practices, we recommended the establishment of a central registry. Our initial intent, as per global international practices, was to call for BIT to win the central registry operating license. So it is quite normal everywhere in the world to have a for-profit making central registry. When we began to establish this process, it became very clear to us that there were very limited role players within our own country that could actually manage this kind of operation. Secondly, we had tremendous lobbying from overseas operators who were interested in bidding for this license as well. Once it became clear to us that we may end up with a foreign entity operating the central registry, the board then took a view that we need to adopt a different tactic. And the tactic we adopted was to establish a for non-profit central registry and to leverage the assets and the intellectual capacity that already exists in the country, so we don't have any dependency on foreign skills or foreign for-profit operating entities. Now, Vika alluded to the fact of the Act, that the Act actually calls us to license the central registry. Based on the consultations we've had with DOC and the state law advisor, the Act, we're not able to actually license the central registry. That's the conclusion that we come to. So the approach we then took is to appoint a central registry on a contractual basis. So we have a very detailed contract with the new, so it's a newly established central registry. It did not exist before. What we've done is we have engaged and concluded a persuasive role for existing role players to put their assets into this newly established central registry. So that's why it's called a ZACR. So there's a contractual relationship between ZEDNA and ZACR that specifies a number of elements besides the operating requirements and other service level agreements. It also specifically states that we set the fee, and it also states that that entity reports to us annually on their operating and budgetary requirements. Currently, with DOC, we are exploring how best that central registry will be governed. And I think that's really the question that's probably being asked. But the relationship and the accountability of the central registry is to ZEDNA. So who they report to is the question asked. The best way I can phrase it is they're accountable and have legal obligations to the ZEDNA.
Thank you very much, member. That's your report. We are still at school. That's when it is in the front of the
people.
No, I agree with you, Chase. With you. I think another machine, your question will be tried to ask us, particularly some of these things, you know, are confusing. Maybe those things will come in between some of these things to ask. Well, let me check, I just want to check in the challenge here. When is the next EGM and your term for this?
We had our last AGM in December, this past December. And we have a special meeting with our members back tomorrow to approve the business plan. But as the MOI, so as the general manager of the industry, we are a for non-profit company which is membership based. So that's really how we operate under the aegis of the Act as it stands. So we have to table at the AGM business plan and the budget and other related matters as far as the company is concerned. In terms of the tenure, when the ZESNA board is established through the minister appointing a nomination committee, and that nomination committee then recommends to the minister the appointment of directors. The expiration of all of that, the term of office of all directors expired some time ago. We made the then Minister of Communications, the late Roy Kodiachi, aware of this. And we were at a juncture of crucial discussion in terms of establishing the central agency. DOC then wrote to the operation, suggesting that all directors continue in their current roles until such time as the minister is ready to review.
That when did the field of trade start, and how long has been on the field of trade? As I understand, the term of office expired, but because of the minister's progress, because of quarantine, but when did it finish? Of course, that will give us how long has been on the field.
The period expired, some were appointed for 4 years, and others were appointed for 3 years. And those appointments of 4 and 3 expired in the years of 2010 and 2011.
Thank you.
Thank
and the only person who can help is the minister, the application of the board. That's time to establish way for.
That's correct, Chair, to the Minister for the Board of Directors.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. So the reappointment was for an undisclosed period and brought us down at the new board meeting. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Our understanding is that DOC sought legal advice. And the letter essentially states that the minister suggests that the directors continue the work of the board until such time as we hear otherwise.
What we are saying, Sir Mayor, is that on the record and the letter, they are not temporary. It has to have through the minister, they are not temporary.
That is correct, and I also believe that that was done on the basis of the stage at which we were in terms of establishing the central registry, where we thought it may take us another 2-3 years to complete that work. We managed to complete that a little sooner.
Probably it has. Who will explain to this comment why your body is running 2 years after work and so on without any appointment or another person? But of course, the minister has the decision. I think what he's going to do wrong. But I'm just trying to say, when you put yourself in the corner and try to respond, you are not appointing.
Yeah, just to add Mr. Thomas, only that way we deal with the information, and also just to point out also the director, that the directors stay. staying longer than the original 10 minutes of social good and positive intention on their side. There was a time where it was an issue between the clarity and others felt that now time is up, we should continue, but when the minister made the call, they did it.
Thank you very much, members. Anything?
No. Thank you very much. I think the issue of the board and so on. Honorable Stefan, hey, today we are here then. I'm missing something. The appointment was supposed to have been reviewed during the period of Minister Padiat, who unfortunately has passed on. And obviously because he's passed on, it could go on forever. Now, the board with the new minister were and take the matter up, I mean, formally. Not assume that the minister knows about it and what was there. It is like indicate that we are overdue, and because the previous minister passed on, you are supposed to do the new to review our position and what was there. I mean, otherwise it becomes some silent saying that could be returned because it's just silent and not directly at all.
Thank you,
Chair, if you recall when the chairperson made his remarks, he indicated the fact that they did have a meeting with the minister in March last year, which means, March this year, which means the minister is away. But as you indicated earlier, there are still processes and other things that the minister needs to attend before she appoints the board. So if I were to request the committee to allow us to give feedback probably by next week on how far the process is with regards to the appointment of new members, I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other things you can plan you are done. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and your fellow board members. And also the general manager. And also GM. I'm sure that very soon will be generally managing. It's okay. We are doing a very good job.
I think moving forward we must find some place and time to better engage with you. Because we want to know that the part of what you care to do, how does it contribute to the broader agenda of the developing stages and stages in the country? Can you look into a role around the particular issue? And also in relation to the government salary, in terms of feeding our people and job creation and the other things. We have at one point that we can be able to talk about what is your community. I know that sometimes we bank for people, but if you ask politicians and the people, are you contributing to job creation, feeding our people, transformation of our country? It's simple as so if we sort of say that you cannot translate into that, the issues we must engage. They were aware that we will not see the new more space the time. Hopefully no member will take what we do. Now they want to know. I'm sure the question that we have in the
Yeah.
need some time to bring our over time to go on. Probably we must put on our problem and each other. And also people from now that in the group of focus is one time this member when they see them or take a week of their company. And presenting about their focus. So this company coming here to presentation and they are going to empower South Africa. And so now the question is, but see, your first thing is for email from South Korea. How are you going to know what you're talking about? Your thing happened, I hope it's somewhere else, but I hope I'm here. But I was saying very much, it was a fruitful discussion. We'll be able to follow up some of the issues. The matter of the appointment of the body of our psychology government is not important in the time to respond on this one. It's a matter which the minister of appointment and service is happening. I want to thank you very much and your board members and your support staff. We have had a speaker and thank you very much. We are proposing members to the board. To SABC, but also they are setting up a team here. You see, they see follow each other. You see, Parliament is mechanical. The 9 o'clock sheet may come to us from the 11th.